T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
We welcome Vinny Benedetto from the Denver Gazette, who's covering this series and is in Phoenix. I have to ask you about Jason's comment. Even if you didn't hear it, I'll explain it to you. He said late in the game, so this is about 2-3 minutes to go, that maybe the Nuggets would be better off if Chris Paul returned to the game and returned to the court because they had played so much better when he was on the court as opposed to being injured. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely given Phoenix a different look. And in these two games, since Paul's been out, you know, the Suns are playing at a much faster pace. Campaign is getting up and down the court, and that's really allowing Devin Booker to get going because, you know, he's killing the Nuggets in transition right now. So, you know, with Paul, the Suns are playing a little bit more methodical. And it's tough to really discern, you know, how much of it is strictly due to the pace, how much of it is, you know, role players playing better at home, which is something I think we've seen from both teams.
It was interesting to hear Mike Malone say there was a lack of awareness on defense, essentially not knowing who to focus on and where the hot hand was, and referring to Landry Shamet, of course. But these are all NBA players. It's not like they can't at any point get hot and hurt a team, like Landry being a great example of that, who only had 14 in the playoffs before this particular game. What did you think of the Nuggets defense in game four?
Yeah, it was just like they were, and to Malone's point, they were trying to double Durant and Booker most of the night. And then they switched that up when Shamet and Terrence Ross hit a couple threes. So when those guys started making shots, I think the Nuggets tried to switch it up a bit, kind of pull off the double, or at least some of the aggressiveness in which they were doubling Durant and Booker. So I think his frustration was more with the rotations, you know, where guys weren't fully flying around, because they're forcing the ball out of Booker and Durant's hands, and then they'd swing it and swing it, and you know, the Nuggets just didn't have the ability or the willingness to fly around, I think, to the requisite level, which, you know, a lot of those Shamet threes were wide open. Right. And I think that's the part that will bother Malone. You know, he said, I think, you know, prior to game one or game two, you know, tough twos aren't going to beat us. And that was the case in those first two games. But, you know, since the series has come to Phoenix, you know, those tough twos were, in fact, beating Denver. And then to take that away, they kind of had to live with some of those open threes. But it's not what Malone is looking for in terms of effort, I think.
Certainly the fact that they were able to get an extra 18 points on threes is a big deal. Some of those shots were contested, though, and you kind of wonder what else Denver could have done. But that is, if you look at the shooting percentages, I mean, that was the case in this game for both teams. Both teams shot nearly 57%. So I'd love to get your thoughts, though, on first of all, how would you describe the game that Jokic had? Even for him, 53 in a playoff game is incredible.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, probably the best game he's played, especially from a, you know, scoring standpoint. This is more points than he's had in any game in his 8 years. And it was just one of those nights, you know. Phoenix played him straight up, and, you know, DeAndre Ayton and Jock Landale are you know, trying, but I just don't think they have what it takes to consistently get stops against a guy like Nikola. And then for him to also get 11 assists, you know, points out that it wasn't strictly a scoring night for him. So, yeah, career night for Jokic, and it feels like, you know, that's a game the Nuggets need to win. You know, if you get 53 from your MVP, that's on the road, that's one you really want to have. But, yeah, went to waste for the Nuggets.
Right. So I was going to ask you then to follow up on that, how painful, considering that not only did they get 53 from him, but they played incredibly well in the paint. They were able to get a bunch of shots that were up close, you know, higher percentage shots, and didn't necessarily need to rely on the three.
Right, yeah. They got everything they wanted, especially through Jokic inside. You know, some of those threes that Michael Porter missed feel pretty big. He feels like he got fouled on one. But yeah, the Nuggets got what they wanted inside. It was just, you know, they'll live with 124 points. You know, that should be enough for them to win more times than not.
Mm.
But yeah, I think most of their concerns on the defensive end. And you know, if Phoenix switches up and starts bringing doubles in Game 5, then you know we're going to go back to Jokic being the prime, you know, the distributor that he is, and then it's going to come down to can the Michael Porter Juniors, can the Kentavious Caldwell Popes make open shots?
Vinny Benedetto is with us from Phoenix, covers the Nuggets for the Denver Gazette, and this series is now tied 2-2. It's tied, Vinny. I don't know if it feels like it's tied. When you were hearing from Michael Malone, hearing from the players, I know Porter was relatively optimistic. Did you get that same attitude, that same feel with the rest of the locker room?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone said, you know, the Nuggets did what they were supposed to do. They won their two games at home. The Suns did what they were supposed to do. They won their two games at home. But I think it is a little different in terms of, you look at the two games in Denver, both of those were double-digit wins for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Phoenix, you know, games 3 and 4, you know, the Suns led both those games late, but the Nuggets made a charge and, you know, had a shot to win in the last 4 or 5 minutes and came up short. So I think that's maybe a bit more deflating in terms of, you know, not every winner, all wins and losses count the same, but they feel different. So I think that's kind of what is hurting the Nuggets right now, is just that they had these opportunities and they only needed one. You know, you steal one in Phoenix and you feel good about your chances in Game 5.
Right.
I imagine. So it's a bit deflating, especially when you consider the 53-point night Jokic had, but they were generally pretty, I don't know if, you know, optimistic might be a step too far, but there weren't visible signs of panic or too much frustration, I would say.
Compared to how the Nuggets ended the regular season, where they gave up some games, Nikola Jokic was hurt, maybe that's when he lost the edge or the, you know, the nose in front with the MVP award. How would you compare the way they were playing then, when it took them so long to clinch the number one seed, to how they're playing now, Vinny?
Yeah, it's almost completely different. I compared the final stretch of the regular season for the Nuggets to having like senioritis, where you've almost, you know, you've almost wrapped up, you know, one portion of the season or one portion of life, and you're kind of taking it easy, enjoying the moment. They had led their, you know, they were the one seed since like December 20th or something. And they, you know, had a 7.5 game lead and the tiebreaker on Memphis, I think, after their last regular season meeting. And so it felt like the Nuggets were kind of on cruise control. Guys, you know, I don't think wanted to go 100%. And, you know, throughout the playoffs, through, say, 8 of the 9 games, they've played with the requisite intensity, and they've really been able to ramp it up. And it feels like, you know, people ask the question, like, oh, are you able to flip the switch from, you know, the uninspiring ball they played at the end of the regular season and turn it up for the playoffs? And you know, for the most part, I think Nuggets have done that successfully. So, yeah, they're a completely different, or they look completely different now than they did at the end of the regular season.
Other than the intensity, maybe, is there anything else you can pinpoint that has changed for them?
Yeah, they're playing kind of significantly different in that they've shortened the rotation a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon is getting those backup center minutes for the most part. You know, him and Jeff Green. So they're kind of going smaller. Aaron Gordon, you know, they're just banking on him to battle most of the night. So that, I think that's probably the most significant change. And it's not a huge change because they would switch a lot when they, you know, in the regular season when Zeke Nagy was getting those minutes. So they played, you know, similarly when they had a smaller five in there. But, yeah, Aaron Gordon with the bench, I think, is by far the biggest change we've seen so far in the postseason.
Vinny, let's talk about that incident in the corner between Jokic and the Suns owner. I'm not sure your perspective. Obviously, we've seen it on video over and over. What did the Suns, not the Suns, sorry, what did the Nuggets have to say about this incident?
Yeah, Nikola kind of stood his ground on, or as firmly as I've seen him in one of these kind of situations. He kind of questioned if the league is going to protect him, not him individually, but, you know, a player. He considered Matt Ishbia, you know, a fan sitting courtside. He didn't think that he's, you know, the owner. He didn't seem to think that made much of a difference. And my vantage point was blocked because I'm sitting mid-court, you know, top of the 100 level, and the basket obstructed my view. So I'm going off the same video everyone else is. But yeah, Jokic kind of fought back the notion that he should have let the refs handle it. And one thing he'll do pretty regularly is he'll quickly restart play. He'll chase down the ball. He'll throw it to the official. He'll try to get it back. And sometimes he'll throw, you know, a full court pass to a guy who's unguarded. And so that was what Jokic said his intent was, to go and try and grab the ball. He didn't seem to appreciate that Ishbia didn't immediately give it up. And I know some people, you know, have said that they weren't going to restart play with, I believe it was Josh Okogie, you know, landing on a seat or whatever. But yeah, Jokic fought back the notion that it was an act deserving of any further punishment than the unsporting technical he got.
Right.
But we're gonna have to wait and see, I think, until tomorrow to see if the league will take any further action.
Well, again, if you pay any attention to the Nuggets, you know that he typically does this. He wants to try to grab that advantage if the Nuggets can get the ball in quickly. This is a move we've seen from him a bunch. And I have to say, I agree with him. Yes, this fan, quote unquote, may be the guy who writes the checks and may have a lot of money. But come on, everybody who sits courtside generally has a lot of money. So that shouldn't make a difference. I hope that's not why an official would assess a technical foul, because that would be lame.
Yeah. In the technical, you know, Tony Brothers was asked about this in a pool report, and he said the technical came down to there being deliberate contact. So I don't think, you know, it matters who the person in the stands holding the ball was. It sounded like Brothers felt like there was no way that he could let that kind of any contact between a player and a fan go unpunished.
Mm. I do like spicy Jokic, though. I mean, when he's like this and he has an edge and an intensity to him, that's good for the entire team.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if any of this will have any impact on the way he plays, should he be on the court in Game 5. But he does seem to hold on to the receipts, I guess. And, you know, he's one of those guys where he's pretty cool, calm, and collected almost all the time. But he can, you know, get a little hot under the collar at other times, I think, as we've seen throughout his career. But he didn't seem to think this was anything too out of the ordinary. He tried to get the ball back. He nudged the person who was preventing him from, in his opinion, being able to restart play. So, yeah, it'll certainly be interesting in terms of if there's any additional fallout.
Before I let you go, Vinny, I, like millions of other people, I'm a huge fan of Devin Booker and his game, but also a huge fan of Jamal Murray. And Jamal getting back into this groove, this rhythm that we had missed for a couple of years. What have you seen with him and finally being healthy again?
Yeah, he's back to the playoff performance we've seen from him before. You know, he's fought back the notion that Bubble Murray was kind of like a one-off. You know, he feels Bubble like Murray. he feels like he's kind of capable of these performances on a regular basis, and we kind of saw it in round one. You know, in the bubble, it was him and Donovan Mitchell trading just incredible individual performances. In round one, it was a lot of Jamal and Anthony Edwards trading those kind of incredible individual performances. And now it's him and Devin Booker. And this is one where it's like, you got to tip your hat to Devin Booker. He's playing absolutely phenomenally. You know, the scoring stands out, but he's also managed to get the rest of his team involved. He had 12 assists tonight, so he's playing at an incredibly high level. And it feels like Jamal has maybe pressed a bit at times in this matchup, but you know, he salvaged it tonight, you know, with 28 points. So yeah, it's I think this is going to be a battle that is going to be pretty incredible to watch for two or three more games of this series.
Yeah, for sure. As much as we can nod to the Splash Brothers who have the bling and the hardware, to see Jamal Murray and also to see Devin play the way that they are right now, I think makes the series can't miss. And then you throw in a couple of MVPs in there, too, and you're like, whoa, there's a lot of star power in this series, too. It's not just the other Western Conference semifinal. So it's good to catch up with you, Vinny. We're glad to have you, especially live here on the show. You can follow Vinny on Twitter at VBENEDETTO, Vinny Benedetto, and covers the Nuggets for the Denver Gazette with us from Phoenix. Safe travels, and we hope to catch up with you again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Amy.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Get some damn sleep. Go get a Serta, people. America's most recognized brand of mattress. American-made, Michigan-made, and always the highest quality. Check out the entire lineup of mattresses at over 150 retailers in the metro area. Closeouts, the iComfort series in the closeout event. Go to Serta.com to find a retailer near you. Buy today, get delivery within a week. No waiting around or sold-out nonsense. Get some rest. Get a Serta.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing, help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.